Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Are you watching the NFL all day Sunday or going outside like a well-adjusted person? Are you going 1 to midnight Sunday or no? There's no London game yet next week, though.
Yeah, yeah. Jets, right?
Jets, Vikings.
Most likely, yeah. I really like that. I do have, I got some things to tend to, you know, yard-wise, but, yeah, whatever. I'll get to it. Maybe before 1 o'clock, even. I could fire up the stuff, you know, 10 a.m. Sunday.
The weather is so good. Perhaps unlike Baltimore, where I looked at my app here, and it's like rain for 5 days in a row. That doesn't seem great. Jeremy Kahn with us. Always a treat to get to talk to Jeremy, the Big Bad Morning Show in Baltimore, Odyssey friends. And how bad is it, Jeremy? I've heard that there could be or should be rain for this game, but I guess when I look at it, it looks like it's just off and on here for a few days running.
Yeah, I think, and thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it, as always. The weather here, it is. It's off and on with drizzling. It's nothing really, like, hard or anything like that. It's just been kind of steady for the most part. It'll die down for an hour, and then it starts again. Obviously, we're going to get all the stuff that's coming up from south and have to deal with that over the next few weeks, see how that impacts football and baseball here in town.
Right. Well, here we go. Bills and Ravens Sunday night. I mean, a marquee game on the NFL schedule. Bills at 3-0, Ravens at 1-2. I mean, it's the Raider loss, it seemed, Jeremy, to me, like that just sort of, that was a headlines kind of result. How did this happen? And that leads to what's wrong with the Ravens. How much, though, is really wrong with them? They lose the Chiefs opener by a whisker, then pretty much roll in Dallas. Are the Bills getting a team here that's really troubled, or is it maybe just relative to kind of a perfect year last year?
Yeah, I don't think they're troubled per se. I mean, there is a history here of this Ravens team under John Harbaugh blowing double-digit leads, whether it's amounted to the Ravens coming away with the win and nobody cares because you walked away with a W, or whether teams have come back like the Raiders did and won. And if you look at their last two games, it's clearly what's happened. They have problems closing out games in the fourth. If the Cowboys, you know, I know it's if, but they get their two-point conversions, they might win that game as bad as they played for most of the game. So, yeah, I think there are some situations where you look at this Ravens team and say, okay, what's wrong with the secondary? They've shut down everybody as far as the run game goes, and I fully expect them to make the Bills one-dimensional when they come to town, but I don't know that the Bills mind that as much with the way that their offense has been running.
Yeah, speaking of those leads being blown, the last time the Bills were in there just a couple of years ago was 20-3. And the Bills ended up coming back and winning that game. A big Jordan Poyer interception in the end zone late helped them seal it. They had to drive down and get a field goal after that. But still, that was – so we've seen it a little bit firsthand. Like how – I don't know, how nervous does any of that make Ravens fans or even the Ravens themselves that they can't seem to hang on to some of these leads?
Yeah, I mean, look, because the coaching staff's not going – nobody's taking ownership over it. I mean, the one constant here has been John Harbaugh, and look, I'm not trying to trash the guy, but there is something to be said about, you know, AFC championship game. They blew that by getting away from the run. A few years before that, they did that against the Titans. And sometimes we're looking at the game going, what the hell's going on with clock management, and why do we keep blowing these leads? Timeouts are important. Stop challenging plays that you have no shot of winning. He's one of the worst coaches in league history at challenging plays. There's things that obviously all the teams have to work on. But look, the Ravens going into this past week, I think before Monday night, I don't know how it looks now after, you know, what the Bills did and what happened with Washington. Cincinnati had the number one offense. They're running the football well. Derrick Henry looked really good last week. The matchup, I'm interested here to see if that front line for your Bills can hold up against this Ravens front line on offense, because they can clearly run the football. They just have a little issue with pass blocking from time to time.
With Jeremy Kahn in Baltimore. So your thoughts, Jeremy, I know we talked in the offseason about it, but the Derrick Henry move, on a certain level, it's like an obvious fit. You know, of course, the Ravens, so well established as a great running team, sort of their identity. You put Derrick Henry on top of that, and it looks like that should sing. My question about it would be, you know, again, going into the season, does that in not a great way, sort of lead them to be a little bit more conservative than they should be. Last year's narrative with Baltimore was to go the other direction. So I wonder how you think it's going and whether it'll prove to be a move that was worth making.
Yeah, look, if he stays healthy, I think it's going to be perfectly fine. I still expect I think the Ravens are still favored to win this division, which is kind of weird with the Steelers being 3-0, but I think it just tells you a lot about, you know, what the powers that be or the smart people that have their algorithms think is going to happen the rest of the way. But the one thing that's been an issue, I think, is a little bit of the read option where Derrick Henry didn't run that as much in Tennessee. And so they've kind of gotten away from some of it. One of the issues that I have with the Ravens and with Derrick Henry is it's felt like whenever Derrick Henry's in the game, almost every time he's getting the ball and they're running it. When he comes out and Justice Hill is in, they're throwing the football. So it's almost like showing your hand sometimes. And I wish they'd mix in a little bit more play action, run it more with Justice Hill and so on. But, I mean, he's showing you signs. You just got to keep feeding the beast. And they don't want to keep giving him the ball too much early and wear him out. But this is still a guy that you don't know when he's going to break that 35-yarder or just, you know, steal someone's soul by giving him a piggyback ride for the rest of the run. So I think it's going to work out. He's just got to stay healthy. He and Lamar have to get on the same page a little bit. This offense has a ton of talent, but we question sometimes, you know, the play calling, how they use Zay Flowers. We have two amazing tight ends, just like Buffalo does. Why is it an either-or offense? Why can't they both be out there making plays? You know, it's interesting here, but I think they have all the pieces to get it done and make a run. But, I mean, they had most of those pieces last year, too, and it didn't work out.
What is the story on Andrews so far this year? We know he's recovering from an injury. There was also a car accident. His usage is kind of messy. I mean, I guess, I don't know, they were way behind last week. Last week. And, you know, that would certainly impact that. What's your favorite working theory on what's going on with Mark Andrews, if you have one?
Good question.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's a bunch of different factors, and whether we want to include all of them and say that they're it or it's solely one of them. But, you know, in week one, he was bracketed, so you saw Isaiah likely go off against the Chiefs. And then coming back in week two, it was like, okay, we got to pay more attention to likely. He caught a couple passes. He was fine. And then they blow the lead against the Raiders. And then in week three, it didn't make any sense. He played like 23 plays. And I know the Ravens were running it primarily. I don't know if they were giving him some sort of break. You're right about the accident before the season. I don't know if that's having an impact at all. He said through the media this week, he's perfectly fine, which when this stuff gets brought up, look for him to get peppered a little bit this week because, I mean, he didn't have any catches last week, didn't play many plays. And it gets back to what I was talking about with this either-or offense that we have here in Baltimore, because when the Ravens run a two tight end set, it's usually not Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. It's one of those guys and they're blocking tight end Charlie Kohler, who caught a big pass last week. But it's like, come on, guys. Can either one of these guys block in line? They're both pretty good out in space. It's hard to pinpoint exactly what's happening. There's some people here that think the writing's on the wall and maybe at the end of the season he becomes a hard cut or a cap casualty. I don't know. I mean, it's really difficult. But I do think he's going to make some plays on Sunday night. They're going to make sure they get him the ball.
I would lean that way, too. The only thing I didn't quite hear that would push me over the top on that is like Andrews exactly complaining, squeaky wheel theory, anything like that. But it didn't sound like that. It's just sort of more, you know, he's maybe more low key than somebody.
Yeah, he said all the right things. He's not complaining through the media or anything like that. He's just said everything like, hey, I'm here to do whatever they want. They want me to go block the entire time. They want me to go catch. I mean, he's one of those guys that's not going to say anything through the media.
I think it could be a real challenge, you know, or maybe worse for the Bills, this matchup over the middle. And Andrews, if he's right, you would think should be a part of that. Zay Flowers, too. I mean, the Bills have been very successful so far this year defensively, too, despite big injuries. But they're iffy in the middle of the field. And I would think that the Ravens, of course, they would know that. And that would be a big part of, which is kind of how they are anyway. Their approach to the matchup.
See, and it's funny, like, just talking about this, because, like, I really do like the Ravens on Sunday night. I mean, you have the Bills coming off a short week on Monday night, you know, coming to Baltimore for a Sunday night game, a team that's 1-2, and I'm not going to call them desperate yet, but, you know, they need to stack some W's together, and then they get their first divisional game next week. So, but when I think about this game, the only thing that gives me pause is that you have a rookie defensive coordinator, and you have Brady over there on the other side calling plays. We've had some questions of whether or not, you know, you look at Zach Orr here, who's a former player, one of the youngest defensive coordinators in the league, and he's stepping into the shadows of Mike McDonald, who a lot of us think was a defensive genius. I mean, the guy was just brilliant, and now you see he's 3-0 in Seattle. I think there's there's legitimate concern over the Bills coming to town by the fan base and by everyone else, and I think the matchup's pretty interesting. I wish we could watch this type of game on a normal week, 1 o'clock or whatever, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and see what it looks like. But I do like the Ravens a lot this week, and I'm not being a homer in that aspect.
How do you feel about the defense overall? You mentioned the play calling aspect of it. Like, we can all look at the stats, and like, passing defense looks like it's having a tough time. I've wondered, with only 3 games played, how much the rally by Dallas last week impacts that overall. But is that the weak link right now? Is defending the pass?
Yeah, I mean, it's strange because that was supposed to be a strength, right? I think Kyle Hamilton, if he's not the biggest kept secret or the best kept secret in the league, he sure enough will be at some point when people start to find out. He didn't start off strong. He had a couple mistakes early on in the season, including, you know, the touchdown to the rookie receiver Xavier Worthy for the Chiefs. Now, the other part of this, too, when you're looking at this defense, is the pass rush. They let Jadeveon Clowney walk. Adafi always looked pretty good, and they can get after the quarterback, but it just makes you wonder, if they're getting after the quarterback, why are they giving up so many pass plays? And you have a rookie, a cornerback in Nate Wiggins, who looks great. Another car accident. I don't know what the Ravens are doing driving. Maybe this feels like Georgia and their players getting tickets down there for speeding. But there were a bunch of accidents with Ravens players in the offseason. So they're good at stopping the run. They give up like 50 yards a game. But on the backside, making teams one-dimensional is supposed to be a good thing. And so far, it's been anything but that for them.
You mentioned Hamilton there. That he's become one of my favorite players that's not on the Bills to watch. How are they using him pretty much all over the place?
Yeah, I mean, he's that Swiss Army knife. He allows them. There's no more base defense here in Baltimore, or for that matter, in the league, because you can put out 5 safeties, 6 safeties if you want to, because of what Kyle Hamilton can do. You can rush him. You can, you know, do all the different things, blitzing him. You can line him up, have him cover the best tight end on the other team. Sometimes he lines up on a wide receiver. I mean, he just does everything, and he is so much fun to watch. And it was weird when they drafted him. A lot of people in town were like, oh, God, a safety? We need this. We need that. We don't need a safety. And thank God they got him, because I think he's going to be a really special player.
With Jeremy Kahn in Baltimore for a couple more minutes here, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, what is the latest vibe check when it comes to Lamar Jackson here, Jeremy? We've gone a long way into this conversation without focusing on him. 2-time MVP now. The MVP narrative is a big one here. This year, and Allen, with Monday night's performance, especially crowd chanting MVP at that game over and over, you know, here at least fans are sort of feeling like it's his turn when it comes to this award. So it's something to talk about with this game on Sunday night. I don't know if it is so meaningful to the players at this point, but I wonder how you see Jackson's season to this point, the kind of, I don't know if there's anything left to say about this, respect he's getting, or just what there is to say about where you think he's at.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of those guys that was kind of going off on, why does Joe Burrow seem to get a pass because he went to 1 Super Bowl? He's been hurt the other 2 years, and he always starts off slow and puts his team in a hole. I don't want to say he's the one put him in a hole, but like, I felt like that guy's got a pass, and he's a really good quarterback. I'm not knocking him, but people in Baltimore are like, man, can you guys go look at the numbers Lamar's putting up? Because when we compare all the passing numbers, they leave out the rushing numbers. For a team that's going to primarily run the football, that clock's just going to move. So he's not going to put up those type of passing numbers typically that other guys do. Josh Allen's showing you he can do it with his feet, he can do it with his arm. And, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, sit here and take shots at the wide receiving corps at the Buffalo Bills, but he's doing it this year with what I would call less than most other quarterbacks. We're going to find out what Coleman and Shakir and some of these guys end up being in that offense, and even Samuel. So, yeah, I mean, this is something with Lamar where he's been highly criticized all the time. I think in week 1, he was like, screw it, I'm just going to do it myself. And he started taking off running, and you saw he got a little nicked up in that game. But on the flip side, I mean, he does need to get better at throwing the deep ball. He needs to get better at hitting receivers in stride. But, oh boy, is he just fun to watch when he gets back there. And he's doing stuff in the backfield that I've never seen guys do. Hell, he almost caught his own pass and ran it in for a touchdown in the AFC Championship game last year. So, pretty special player, says all the right things. One of the things that we really liked is that he took Marlon Humphrey, their cornerback, to task for being on Instagram Live, and fans are like, yeah, that's some leadership there, and nobody's going to chirp back at Lamar because they all respect the hell out of him.
Boy, you mentioned the opener and trying to do it himself. I thought almost right from the start in that game, he was – like looking for contact in a way that I don't think I've ever seen him look for it. You know, we were in a market here with Josh Allen, who, you know, runs over cornerbacks for a living until he had this hand injury, and we'll see if he's going to be like a contact hound. But for Jackson, I felt like that was somewhat out of character, even.
Yeah, look, I think there was a lot of talk in last year's game. There were a lot of things that went awry, and the fact that you look at your running backs only getting six carries, and it wasn't like they averaged 2 yards a carry. They were running the football fairly well, and they just got away from it. And I think, you know, part of that, I'm not saying, like, because you want to look at whose fault it is. Everybody needs a scapegoat for whatever reason. But, I mean, I think everybody's kind of at fault, the coaching staff, Lamar, you know, his teammates. Like, when you look at that game, it was almost like everybody's saying, I can't throw to win this game, and I'm going to go throw it. I don't know if that's the case or if the coaches just got scared and got away from running the football. But there were so many things. They had the worst game plan going in the AFC Championship last year, and they still could have easily won it without that Zay Flowers fumble through the end zone, you know? So I think there's some real sour grapes here. And look, you guys know in Buffalo, we got to get past this guy in Kansas City at some point and prove everybody else in the league wrong.
Right. The Ravens have their Chiefs game over with. The Bills will host Kansas City in November. Well, you mentioned, by the way, Jeremy, earlier you mentioned the AFC North odds. It's not even close. Baltimore plus 135, Pittsburgh at 3-0, plus 225, Cincinnati plus 260, Cleveland way back. I don't know. Like, you're a betting man, I believe. What's the play there?
I think the play is the Ravens. If you want to get cute with the Steelers because they're up 3-0, but the Ravens still have two games against them. The thing I would tell you is that the Steelers, they've pretty much had Lamar's number, but I don't know if that was about matchups, timing, who was on. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. But this team is good enough to make that run and, hell, win the rest of the games of the season. I'm not saying that happens, but they have that type of talent. So I would bet on them to win this division. I think it's the smartest play. And I was a little bit more bullish on the Browns than most people at the beginning of the year. And I regret thinking that. So,
yeah.
It was a bad play on my part.
Yeah. Do you think Watson comes out?
I mean, I was just talking about him today to somebody else that doesn't watch football. And I said, it's one of the strangest things I've seen. A little bit of time off, all the stuff that went on the off the field, because when he was in his peak, like, I'm not saying he was the best quarterback in the league, but I think you could make a valid case for it. And to see him the way he looks now, it's like, who throws a pass backwards into the ground? Like, I don't know what's going through his head, but he looks awful.
Yeah. The division, I said earlier on our show here that for me, of course the Ravens want this game. I'm inclined to dismiss the Steelers. Like, we'll see. It's a long way to go here. The Bengals already at 0-3. If I'm the Ravens, I'd be thinking about keeping them at, behind me as far back, because of dropping to 1-3, now I'm right there with them. And that, to me, is still the team that I would consider the biggest threat in that division, along with Baltimore.
No, I would, I kind of agree with that, but like, and watching Cincinnati, their defense is horrendous. I mean, it's not like it was bad last year, and everybody's like, well, Joe Burrow's coming back and they'll be fine. I'm like, well, he's not tackling anybody. So, yeah. I mean, their defense looks really bad. And, I mean, they made Jaden Daniels look like the second coming of Lamar on Monday night. So, I don't know, man. It's kind of a tough thing to look at this and say Cincinnati can get back into it. I think Andy Dalton has the ability to do one of the funniest things ever and win his back-to-back games against his former team and send them to 0-4. But, as you put it, they win this game. Ravens go to town next weekend to play them. They win that game, they have the same record as the Ravens.
Right, Baltimore at Cincinnati. Also a 1 o'clock game. Buffalo at Houston as well next week, Jeremy. 1 o'clock. We get the Steelers on Sunday night. Could be worse. I just have every year I'm sick of the Steelers and the Bears just taking over the primetime schedule despite always being boring. But, they are 3-0. Fields is interesting. They host Dallas next Sunday
night.
With
the Steelers playing the Chargers last week, you might as well watch paint dry with Arthur Smith and Greg Roman going at it. Hey, let's just run it up and down the field over and over again.
We got that game, and that goes back to where we started. Who wants to go outside Sunday afternoon without our team's playing, if it's nice out? Thank you, Jeremy.
That was a bad one. Yeah, guys, anytime. Love being on the show.
Appreciate that.
All right, stay dry down there, man. All right.
Jeremy Conn, our guest from Baltimore, Big Bad Morning Show, Odyssey Station there. Andrews, going to start him?
Yes.
Andrews or Kincaid? Kincaid. Right?
I mean, I don't have this decision to make, but I might be tempted to bet on a, like, let's get our guy going type of vibe from Andrews. I mean, I guess you could say the same about Kincaid, but he did catch a touchdown last week.
I think Kincaid is doing just what the Bills want him to be doing. That changes when they start to use him down the field more, but I don't know. Should we expect that to happen this week? It could. It might be that kind of opponent where you do push the ball a little bit more.
That first catch of his down the sideline was that qualifies as down the field.
Yes, that's right.
Right?
That's right. He caught three in the game, three passes.
I don't have it memorized.
I think it was three for 41 and one.
Right.
I mean, I guess this year at tight end in fantasy, you'll take that.
That's smashing.
That's
at
big.
Tight end, right?
What is that, 13 points? Come on here. Chris Olave, by the way, injured at Saints practice today, hamstring reportedly, so he is questionable. There have been a lot of midweek injuries, muscle pulls. A.J. Brown happened that way. I don't know if Debo did. There are a few guys that have just come up lame during the week. I guess Davante Adams.
Right.
And so very challenging for fantasy players. Well,
you mentioned A.J. Brown just quickly. They're listing him as questionable for this game.
Yes.
Devontae Smith already ruled out, but maybe they get Brown back.
Kittle is another one who was hurt at practice. And he might play this week for San Francisco. He's talking like he thinks he will. Nico Collins, our earlier guest, Sam Paniatovich, mentioned him with the Texans. He is supposed to be good to go. But Tank Dell out for Houston. They host the Jaguars. Sal will join us in 40 minutes. Got a thought on Sunday night, even fantasy stuff. 803-0550 if you want to join us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Glad to be with you. It is Football Friday, by the way. I mean, I could have just said that earlier.
It's well known.
It's well known. It's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
There's not enough emphasis put on the organization's role in the development of the position, meaning I do believe that organizations fail young quarterbacks before young quarterbacks fail organizations. And there's no specific example in my mind that I could give you of a team or a quarterback, but just overall 30,000 foot view, I think it's important to understand that every single one of these guys is on a journey, a very difficult journey, that they need the support, they need the teammates around them, they need the systems in place to ultimately try to maximize who they are and what their potential is, because you're still drafting players, Rich, off of potential.
Oh, come on, coach. Give us one name. Kevin O'Connell, Brown. Minnesota.
He does have a pretty good example of that he's working with right now in Minnesota. So, I don't know. He won't say it, but, you know, the Jets kind of made a mess out of Sam Darnold, I think, you know. It's been easy enough, I think, for us even here to speculate about how great it's going with Josh Allen, and if for some reason, if the Jets had liked Josh Allen more than Sam Darnold, and they take him and the Bills end up with Sam Darnold, like, I don't know, they're not the same player, but maybe they build this around Sam Darnold and they support him the way O'Connell's talking and it works. And, you know, Sam Darnold, again, isn't leaping over linebackers like Josh Allen does, but maybe it's, you know, it looks like a successful draft pick instead of kind of a punchline, which is what Darnold was with the Jets anyway. He's certainly far from that now with Minnesota.
Seeing ghosts.
Right.
I'm glad this has come up. I had a friend over last night to watch Dallas and the Giants. And at one point, Nick, he said, who do you think the Bills quarterback right now would be if they had taken Rosen? I mean, it's not a question you can really answer.
Yeah.
Or necessarily want to be thinking about. But it is just so random. You know, did the Jets know more than the Bills picking Darnold over Allen? Would the Bills have not done the same thing? Would either of them have picked Mayfield instead of both of them, like the Browns did in that draft? Then you have Rosen, then you have Lamar Jackson, who is so brilliant that the Ravens picked a tight end in the same first round before they got around to picking Jackson. Like, these teams, you're just making your best guess. I'm not saying it should be perfect, but you're just so lucky to get it right. And you wonder, like, you're talking about Darnold, who's maybe a better person for this question than Rosen would be. Rosen was so fast to be out of the NFL. It's hard to think, like, he could have made it. but he could have made it. You don't know. If he goes to the right team, the so-called right team, and gets time to develop, you know, everything like that, he was talented enough to deserve to be picked like he was. It didn't happen. Darnold gets bounced around. Now he's on what? This is his fourth team at least. Carolina, San Francisco, maybe there was someone else, Minnesota. Mayfield as well. Browns, Panthers, Rams, Bucks. This is the Allen class. You have Allen and Jackson Sunday night. This really is a great talking point for this game. Here are the two quarterbacks who have been elite on their original teams. They've just both, it's just an A+. For both teams, it's been an absolute A+ drafting these guys. The Browns have already moved on, and they're kind of in a really bad spot right now with their replacement of Mayfield. The Jets have just sort of lowered themselves to the Aaron Rodgers experiment.
Sold it all out, yeah.
Sold their souls.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals ended up drafting their next guy, what, the next year?
The next year.
At one overall.
Yeah.
Who would be, I mean, you could answer a lot of different names. Who would be the Bills quarterback right now if they had picked Rosen? Let's say they do, and it flops, right? Probably. It flops.
100%.
100%.
I don't feel like Rosen ever stood a chance of making it in the league.
Does McDermott survive it?
I think Rosen's the kind of personality that was going to get eaten up in an NFL locker room. Like, he was, you know, country club, wealthy. Let's not say, like, a kid from a wealthy background can't dig in and work, but, like, the rep Rosen had was that he was a silver spoon guy. And it's the main reason I thought the Bills would never pick him in a million years. Yep. Like, no way McDermott is doing that. So that can be tough. Again, it's not to say you couldn't have figured it out or better support or whatever, but, man, he was scary to me all along. So, like, there's that. You know, where would you be? I mean, holy cow. I don't know. Fitzpatrick is still playing. I have no idea.
Well,
we'd be wandering. Maybe Mayfield ends up here or something. I mean, who knows?
Well, it probably you're drafting someone high again after that.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like Arizona did. Maybe it isn't first overall. Maybe it is.
Yeah, maybe it's so bad that that's where you end up.
How many coaches ago for Arizona was Josh Rosen? That was Wilkes? Is that the name of the guy who was his coach?
That was the GM, I think.
No, that's Steve Keim.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Steve Keim is the, yep, okay.
Whoever was there for 1 year, then I guess Kingsbury, revenge game this week, yeah. Kingsbury and Washington against Arizona. And so it's only that many. Then now it's Gannon.
But, yeah.
You know, we're probably a couple coaches removed as well. We're probably a couple quarterbacks removed as well.
I might, well, yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, I don't know who's still here. Right? Like, if for some reason Bean and McDermott survive that, maybe Sam Darnold is your quarterback. Because I've always believed they really liked him. You know, they just didn't have the chance to draft him. So they ended up doing it. I'll say they didn't love the idea of drafting Allen, but it wouldn't surprise me if they had Darnold ranked ahead of him. So if they were still here after losing out with, you know, Josh Rosen, maybe when Darnold washes out in New York, they're the team calling, or they're waiting until he's a free agent, and then they hop on it and get him in here. So maybe that's my best guess. But there's so much that you don't know about who's still left behind, right? Like that's based on my guess that they really liked Darnold. So maybe if they could have pivoted to that, that's who your quarterback would be right now. But I mean,
all right. Well, that could happen. That could have happened. Let's say I just want to try. I want to come up with a name. I want to get to a name. So, not a particular name. I want to talk out loud or think out loud here for a second. McDermott is the coach in 18. Josh Rosen is the quarterback. It goes badly, but McDermott, Hyde Poyer, his abilities, Trey White, they don't finish last in the league like Arizona did. Mm-hmm. They're not the worst team in football. So they're like picking 10th. It's the drought sort of vibe here.
Yep.
And they give, or they don't. They might have a veteran to go with them, kind of where Carolina was this year, where it's Andy Dalton would be the quarterback of the Bills, actually, for the last 5 years. That's the answer. He would be in his fifth year as the quarterback of the Bills right now. So, like, you know, they pick in the 19 draft is who? The 19 draft is Murray, Daniel Jones. I think Jordan, isn't Jordan Love that draft? Or that's the next year? That's the next year. 20. Dwayne Haskins was in the 19 draft. But the Bill, you know, he just did this. We're going to give it a little bit more time with Rose. We got a veteran. So then they go to 20, and it kind of falls apart. McDermott's lucky to stay on if that happens. Maybe, again, the defense is good enough. Some of these Heidenpoyers, they want to leave because it's bad. You know, they're losing.
Right.
And in the 20 draft, I mean, you've got options. That's Tua. It's Burrow, Tua, Justin Herbert.
Right.
Then Jordan Love, I think. And we're drafting one of those guys.
Probably.
In 2020.
Yeah.
And maybe that would work. Maybe. Those guys are all still on their original teams.
Yeah. That all seems to be going at least pretty well.
And they all have big contracts already.
Right.
Burrow, Tua, Herbert, and Jordan Love. They all have gotten their big second contract. So we have one of those guys, or Dalton, or Darnold. Darnold makes sense. All right. We can be done.
I did not enjoy this exercise at all. Done. Considering this existence that we no longer have to live with.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. I mean, it's, you know. No, it's not fine. I hated it. But, you know, we're through it.
We are through it. Did you watch last night's game?
I did, yes.
Tough beat in the bet.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, 51-yard field
goal. Way to decide to miss a kick.
Guys making everything. Yeah, and, you know, did you catch McCarthy had a timeout. They could have called timeout there. Like, you know, let the clock, because the clock's running, so they get the field goal unit to come out there. They could have ran it down to 1 second left on the play clock and burned a timeout to give him a chance to sort of get set. He ran away from it, but Aubrey, the kicker, said, you know, maybe I was distracted with the play clock or something to that effect. And he tried to say, like, oh, no, my job's just to kick it. But he did say, I think once he realized that he was implicating that his coach could have done him a solid by calling a timeout, he tried to run away from it. But he said, I was looking at the play clock when we were lining up because, you know, I wanted to make sure we weren't going to take a penalty. And so I don't know why McCarthy just doesn't let it run down to, you know, again, 1 second on the play clock, call timeout, and then make your kick.
Because he figured the guy would make it.
Right.
Because he makes everything. So... What's the difference? I'm going to go up by 8. Sam earlier said, why not just punt it?
I think the reason to not just let the clock run is because the kicker's telling you he's standing out there obsessing about the play clock.
Then he should call timeout.
Somebody should have called timeout.
The kicker could have done it. A player's allowed to do it.
Yeah. I was so I was there for that. Yeah. I was thinking, come on, I need this field goal.
So I wanted, really quick, to use something today, but I couldn't really do it. Giants go up 3-0, was it? And then Dallas is driving. That's right. Dallas is driving on their second possession, down 3-0. And they had an offensive pass interference penalty on the drive that was accepted. They overcome that. Now they're second and goal at the 5, and they have a holding penalty that puts them at second and goal from the 15. And it's already sort of like a game where the flags are becoming a story. The Giants had a face mask on the previous drive.
They got screwed on that. It was the Dallas guy had his hands on the Giant player's face mask, and they called it on the wrong team.
So we've got a game here with Al Michaels announcing that is getting to be like a flag show.
Yeah.
And so on, right after the Dallas holding, second and goal to 15, it's a swing pass to Rico Dowdle. And you see the line judge or whatever throw the flag at a Cowboys player downfield.
Yeah, yeah.
Here we go.
Right.
And my buddy and I are like, this is going to be one of those games and Al's not going to be happy. And I don't know if he said anything there, but we had a space ref moment where the referee eventually says, with the replay assistant, again, I like that they're being honest this time about what's actually happening. No flag on the play, no penalty on the play, touchdown. And I was just like, oh, of course. We're not going to have touchdowns called back. Everybody's talking about how no one can score. We're not going to have that game on Amazon with the Cowboys and the Giants. Like they're going to force points down our throat in this game. But it wasn't holding. That's what I'm waiting to say. I wanted to sort of just be hard about this. Like, that, of course that was holding. They just picked it up because they didn't want to have that kind of game, but it was a pretty light call.
Yeah.
So it was reasonable.
I have the same problem. I think I mentioned this last week at some point, like or maybe even earlier this week. I appreciate SkyRef, but how arbitrarily it's deployed is nuts. This call earlier, maybe it's just too embarrassing a miss for them to fix. But, I mean, they called a face mask penalty on the guy who had his face mask held. Literally, and it undid. I mean, the Giants were driving. They settled for a field goal there, but they were moving it. Like, they're not exactly money on offense if you've watched the Giants at all. So for them to have a drive that's looking like it could end in a touchdown is a pretty big development. And they just got it wrong. And it was plain that they got it wrong. And so why is SkyRef not there to go, actually, guys, you know, like, if you're gonna fix it. You know, just don't decide when you're going to use it. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like the call that they did reverse falls outside of what the earlier one was. You know what I mean? Like, nope. I don't know what the rules are, like what's available to be reviewed by the SkyRef. It seems like they just decide that we should look at that. Or we should fix that.
I think that's how it is.
And that is just not... I mean, I also don't want the game to be bogged down to the extent where they're reviewing every single play, but that's the idea, right?
Well,
you see something that's wrong, you signal the ref, and you fix it. And here was a very impactful 15-yard penalty that was not only not a foul on the team it was called on, the foul was actually committed on the team that was called on. What are we doing here? Like, if you're not going to fix that, what? Thanks for fixing the other stuff, but... Man, this is a bad system.
They're going to change calls here and there. And you see plenty of calls like that, the punch in the Houston-Chicago game, that are just, they're not going to bother. They don't want to do too much of it. They want to do some of it. At least it's fast.
Yes.
But it is really, I think it's about circumstances. I wanted to see a hold on that Dallas touchdown because I just think they were at a point in the game where they did not want to take touchdowns off the board. And they still only got to 35 points. But I think I could be a little bit right, even though it wasn't... It's the kind of holding penalty like anyone where you've seen it called before. It wasn't... There wasn't contact or anything. There was contact, but it really didn't look like it needed to be a penalty.
When they first showed the replay on that, I thought about illegal man downfield.
Yeah, me too.
The guy who drew the flag was pretty far downfield as that ball was being completed, and I thought that might have been the foul, but
that's right.
I don't know.
Football Friday continues next. Sal at 5. This is Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Keep it short here, then we'll get to Sal after the update. The Barnes injury report. Brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Bills have already, going back to Tuesday morning or afternoon, ruled out Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson for this game. Practicing in full, however, Josh Allen, who's been on the injury report with that hand injury, Kyer Elam, Quinton Morris, and Mitch Trubisky, who continues to be listed. But that was a long time ago. There you go. The Sabres game is over. 5-0 win over Red Bull Munich. 5 different goal scorers. Both goalies played. And that's it until next Friday's regular season opener.
All right. Found myself thinking of our old buddy,
Who's this going to be?
David Leggio today. He played for that team. I don't know why I didn't think of that all along here as the schedule came out. But once I saw the uniforms, I'm like, wait a minute. He played there for 2 seasons, won a league championship with them, I think in 2016 or 17. I forget which. But Leggio, for folks who don't know, is a local guy, made it to the AHL and played in Europe and has been a goalie coach here for many years and did a lot. Lot of marvelous things for our kid. So, sorry, Ledge. I don't know. Partial to Red Bull Munich from his time there. But the Flying Leggios did not have a good night today.
The Sabres haven't lost yet.
No, that's right.
That's probably going to bode well.
Neither has the Ammer version.
I know.
Right, everyone. Like they've got 2 teams going, and they're all...
They can't lose.
They can't lose, is right.
May it last.
Yeah.
Sal after sports, Football Friday on WGR.